This is the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk on every team in the NHL.
This is the Broadway Boys Podcast through the Hockey Podcast Network, and we are back with Season 3, Episode 97. As we are coming super close to the start of preseason, the Rangers have made a decision on what to do with Nils, and we got camp going. All the players seem to have voluntarily come a few weeks early, so that's all good. And I want to start the podcast off as usual, asking Andy, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. Like you said, super close to the start of the season, and we finally have Rangers-related news to talk about. As we record this on Wednesday, today was the official first day of New York Rangers training camp. Although they didn't get on the ice, they did do promo images and stuff for social media, and they did their off-ice testing, apparently, today. So, super exciting, like you said. And obviously, we had a big trade the other day. So, yeah, like I said, there's finally New York Rangers news, and the preseason is literally starting next week. So I'm super pumped.
Yeah. And, you know, kind of that trade really kind of just set the gears in motion, and it kind of, you know, left the one last thing lingering in Rangers world. It kind of, you know, put a cap on that, and we can kind of move on and go with what the roster that we have. And obviously we knew Nils was not, you know, pleased that he, you know, wasn't part of the New York Rangers lineup, and, you know, felt that he's NHL ready. And I think a lot of people felt that way. It's just the nature of what this team is right now. You know, it's built to win, you know, right now. And unfortunately for Nils, he never got the full opportunity, and, you know, it just, he's going to take his talents elsewhere and, you know, ask for a trade. And I have to say, Andy, I was utterly shocked when I saw what we got in return. And the reason being is that, you know, usually the team that has no leverage, you know, never seems to get, you know, the better end of the deal. I think we did. And I say that for two reasons. Obviously, number one, next year's first round draft, as you mentioned so many times, is super deep. And number two, the Dallas Stars are not a team, in my eyes, that's going to compete for a Stanley Cup. So, you know, they're going to be right there in the middle of probably drafting in the middle of the first round. Obviously, it's lottery protected. So, you know, it just, you know, for me, it's like looking where the Stars are and seeing what we got, even though they're, you know, it's a contingent first round pick. I don't see the Stars being a late round first pick in the next two seasons. So all good things here, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, from a pure value perspective, considering that Nils himself requested a trade, not seeing just a spot for him in the Rangers blue line, especially with the right side pretty much all but locked up, with, you know, Adam Fox, Jacob Trouba, and Braden Schneider kind of holding down those spots. I mean, yeah, I just think also, and not even just about the position, but also just about the role as an offensive D-man. I mean, you have Adam Fox. So Nils' literal calling card, which is going to try to potentially make him the most money in the NHL, is being a right shot power play defenseman, right? Because that's literally his best asset. And you're basically, as a team, the Rangers just, you know, they don't, that's locked up. Adam Fox has locked that down. We saw Tony D'Angelo move on from the team for other reasons, but, you know, as much in the same way, yeah, I mean, it's literally, there was not a path forward for Nils on this team. So I don't necessarily begrudge him for seeking his fortune elsewhere. And I think there even was, he, you know, with his local paper in Sweden, you know, he said the Rangers, you know, are a first class organization, and I don't, you know, I want to thank them for their time. They were really good to me. And, you know, I don't want people to think I'm like a diva or anything. It's just, I just didn't see a way forward. And that's honestly the truth. So, you know, whatever, best of luck to him. And honestly, Dallas just lost John Klingberg. So they might be able to feed him power for, you know, but a lot of power play time, potentially even on the top unit, you know. So it'll be interesting to see how he does there. But like I said earlier, it's from a pure value perspective. The Rangers did an excellent job. He's 28th overall pick in the 2018 draft. Has had a little bit of a struggle making it to North, you know, taking to the North American game a little bit. But again, he's a young defenseman, which is tough in this league anyway, and especially just adapting to the game over here. Wasn't exactly put with the best partners at most times. And also, oh, my dog just opened the door. You know, from a, like I said, from a pure value perspective, he's 28th overall pick. So I would say the Rangers did a good job picking him there. But, you know, that first round pick they got from Dallas is it's lottery protected. So, and like you said, Dallas is not necessarily a very good team. So if it's anywhere in the top 10, it becomes an unprotected first next year in the 2024 draft. And if Dallas is bad this year, I don't think they're going to be much better next year, right? This is, if anything, this is kind of the litmus test year to see how, what type of team they really are. And on top of that, they also got a conditional pick. They got a conditional fourth that I believe if Nils puts up a cumulative 50 points in the next two seasons, becomes a third. So they got a first and a third for Nils Lundqvist, even though he requested a trade. So any way you slice it, this is an excellent piece of business by Drury. He was able to get what he wanted. And listen, I also think most outsiders agree the Rangers won this trade, but I think a lot of them were kind of selling Nils short just based on the fact that he maybe had trouble sticking with the Rangers. So that must mean he stinks or whatever. The Rangers ruin another prospect. That's not necessarily the case. Nils might be very good in Dallas where he gets time, and you know what I mean? And they've done a good job developing defensemen there. But I just think best, you know, worst case scenario for the Rangers is they, whatever they do with that first, it doesn't pan out for them. Either they make they choose a kid in a draft who doesn't pan out, or they trade it for help at the deadline, and that doesn't really do much to move the needle for them. So, right. So, but now they have options in one of the deepest drafts in recent memory. And now, even if they do, maybe they only end up using one of their firsts, and they still have a first to play with in an excellent draft. So that makes me happy. But again, a lot of speculation about what might happen to that first. But just based on the trade itself, excellent job by Chris Drury. Gets good value. And yeah, we'll see how it ends up. But I am torn on whether I want that first to be this year or next year, you know?
Yeah. And the reality is that Stars pick is probably more valuable than our pick. Or you hope,
yeah,
so.
I would imagine. Yeah, you would hope so, obviously.
So I think at the trade deadline, if we're going to bring in an asset, that's certainly, you know, it's certainly something that would be a package. You know, I think you mentioned it right away that, you know, if the Rangers really are eyeing a guy like Patrick Kane, that pick is probably, you know, sayonara. That thing's going to Chicago without a doubt. So, you know, I don't know. I just feel like seeing the first, even though it's conditional, you can't believe it. Usually we are just not on the winning bargain of not just like a winning bargain, but usually when a situation like this, it just, the whole thing's ugly and it never ends up positive. And I feel like the whole situation is positive. Nils is going to go to a team where he's going to get the play. The Rangers get a great offer back for him. And he goes to a team where it's not like, you know, we're not going to ever, the Dallas Stars and New York Rangers, they're not a concern of ours right now. So, and he can be a part of that team for a very long time. So I think,
obviously you don't hope it becomes like a Sergei Zubov situation with Dallas where it's like, oh, maybe they should have given up this guy, but you know, who knows? I mean, again, I do hope Nils does well, but there's clearly, I think just from the fact that how he wants to earn his money was not a reality for him on this team, you know? So if anything, you were going to have a guy put in a spot that just almost maybe his spot in this team would devalue what he brings to the table, you know? So,
right.
And I think with Fox being a smaller guy and Jones being a smaller guy, not that Nils is a small guy. I think he's just, you know, he's average. He's like 6 foot, 5'10" or whatever, and still growing. But I just think for them, having Schneider's brawn and the fact that he's never going to put up a lot of counting buddies, get that tough to play against mentality, they clearly are more drawn to that, you know? So, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, and you know, here we are with another first round pick, another asset to have, and obviously that'll be nice to have in our back pocket. And for the next draft coming up, two first round picks, a second round pick, Colorado's third round pick, and then we have 2 6th round picks and a seventh. So after, you know, the last season, pretty much giving up, you know, our third round pick, fourth round pick, fifth round pick, you know, next year's third round pick, it's just, you kind of felt like, you know, maybe the New York Rangers, you know, kind of blew it, you know, with Kopp and Vetrano and giving up, you know, a certain amount of assets to bring in these players. And we didn't even get a chance to keep them. But, you know, a move like this certainly brings you right back. And you feel good about, you know, having, you know, draft capital, which is always important, no matter where you are, whether you're rebuilding or whether you're contending for a Stanley Cup, because, you know, having picks and draft capital is just an asset that, you know, is can never be overvalued, in my opinion. So,
yeah. And listen, I think in general, the good GMs in this league are find creative ways out of situations. Not that this was all that creative, but I mean, you look at teams like the Flyers and the Islanders, who were forced to sit on their hands this summer, and all the big things they promised to do, they couldn't do anyone. They did like, oh, we didn't have the cap, we didn't have the flex, we didn't have this. Do you ever hear Julien Brisebois or Steve Yzerman say, oh, we didn't have the cap space? They figure out how to make these things happen, but they also, there's a little bit of foresight put into these things where they try to prognosticate the best way to put them in a position to maybe get creative down the line. And Drury really has done that. So it's, I think honestly, the biggest thing from this for me is that it's a confidence booster in Chris Drury's ability to make sure it's not just, you know, everything is just blowing the wad about what's going to make this team the best now, but almost hurt them down the road. There is some foresight going on here. And you couple that with just some of the bodies he brought in at the trade deadline that were literally what the doctor ordered for this team. Yeah, it makes you more confident in his abilities as a general manager. And yeah, he's also had some pretty good contracts recently. So he's clearly got some strengths in terms of his negotiations, whether with players or other GMs, you know, whereas obviously the Buchnevich trade left a sour taste in people's mouth. But, you know, I think overall his good column is starting to outweigh his bad column, although granted it has been a smaller sample size. So yeah, happy with the return. And again, I'm just torn as do I want it? This is a deep draft. So a part of me wants it to be 11 and the Rangers can pick at 11 if they're going to keep the pick, obviously. But then there's also part of me, if they are going to keep the pick, it's like Dallas could be bad. I mean, Jason Robertson's not reporting to camp right now because he doesn't have a contract. So who knows what's going to happen there? I'm not saying that's an indicator that it's going to be a rough season for them, but it's definitely not the right foot, right? He's one of their most important pieces. So, but exciting for sure. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And, you know, we kind of have, you know, everything, you know, trending in the right direction heading into camp. You know, as I mentioned before, everyone seemed to show up earlier than what was expected. So, you know, for the first day, I guess there's a lot of positive things. It's going to be interesting to see, you know, Trouba wearing the C this year. And, you know, just a lot of positive things happening, Andy. So do you want to get into the next section of our podcast here?
Yeah, absolutely. So obviously today being the first day of camp, the media did get to talk with Gerard Gallant. So basically today starting tomorrow with the on-ice practices, they're going to split into three groups and they're going to scrimmage each other, with the third group just kind of being a practice group after. And they're going to rotate bodies in and out. So there will be a lot of experimenting, but Gerard Gallant did mention positions they're going to start with for in practice for these scrimmages, just for what they're hoping their team would look like, subject to change, of course. And the only thing I'll say, because I think it'd be fun if you guess what the lines and the D pairings are. He did say there was no setbacks with anyone, you know, it's nothing to worry about going into camp here. Like you said, everyone came early. They're going to hit the ground running. The only thing they did say is that Barclay Goodrow, because he ended the season last after the playoffs with a broken ankle, He might not scrimmage, but he still should be good to go for the regular season. No issues there. And like you said, everyone is healthy and is ready to hit the ground running. So with that being said, James, I want you to, how should we do this? Maybe we, I want you to give me, just give me the all four forward lines now.
Okay.
Because I feel like if we do it one by one, it might just kind of give it away, because you'll be like, oh, well, then of course this guy's going to be here. So okay. I want you to guess, give me the four forward lines and I'll tell you how close you are. Or if you nailed it.
Okay. I'm obviously going to go with Mika, Kreider, and Lafreniere. I don't think there's going to be a lot of experimenting. Trocheck, Panarin, Kako. Then he's going to have Hedl, Blay. Oh, God. No Barclay Goodrow, right? For the scrimmage.
What's up?
No Barclay Goodrow for the scrimmage.
No, right? I mean, he's just talking about what he wants to keep for the regular. Basically, so don't...
what he wants to start the regular season.
Yeah, so just imagine this is regular season. So just, you know, so you... Just to let's just reiterate for myself. You said Kreider's Zibanejad, Lafreniere, right?
Yeah.
And then you said Panarin, Trocheck,
and then
Kako.
Kako on the right. And then Hedl centering. I'm going to expect him to do... Blay and Kravtsov. This is where the bottom six is just going to be completely way off. And then Gaudreau centering Dryden, Hunt, and Reeves. I would imagine Carpenter is maybe in there for Reeves. Gaudreau moves to the... I don't know. But that's what I'm going with, what I just said.
Okay.
Gaudreau, Hunt, and Reeves. I think they like Hunt.
So you're saying Gaudreau between Hunt and Reeves?
Yes.
Okay. Let's see how many positions you got correct.
God.
You got five correct out of
what?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 spots.
Wow.
Wow.
Okay.
So, all right. So you want me to read you some of those?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So, or how about, I'm going to give you a hint. All right.
Yeah.
So the first thing I would say is Lafreniere is going to start at left wing.
Okay.
Would you like to amend your lineup?
Well, then I'm going to do the kid line. I'll do Hedl, Lafreniere, and Kako.
Okay. So if you're keeping the kid line together, who plays with Kreider and Zibanejad, and who's going to play with Panarin and Trocheck?
Oh my God, I don't know now. I mean, they can't possibly give Kravtsov first line minutes. Sammy Blay?
Who is he going to play with?
On the right side, I guess, with Zibanejad and Kreider?
That is correct.
Okay.
Gallant said the plan is to start Sammy Blay at right wing on the top line with Kreider and Zibanejad.
Okay. All right. I mean, interesting. Okay.
So the big question now is who's going to play with Trocheck and Panarin?
It has to be Kravtsov, incorrect.
According to Molly Walker interviewing, let me find it. Vitali Kravtsov will get first look on the second line next to Artemi Panarin and Vincent Trocheck. Gallant said he's heard nothing but good and positive things about Kravtsov since he arrived in New York early to begin training camp. Says this is a big opportunity for him. He has a chance here. He needs to earn it. So. He's going to start. So right now we have...
I like what we're doing here, though.
Me too. I actually like the fact... I was pretty vocal about saying I want the kid line to stay together. I just think it gives this team the best chance because I feel like the third line, if you take Kako and Lafreniere off the heel, I think it kind of... If anything, if you can have your first lines be that and just let them literally run roughshod over other teams' third lines, I think you're in a good spot. Especially, I think Trocheck really does solidify Panarin's line. And it seems, I think Blake could be an excellent partner because you know Mika and Kreider kind of like to circle the puck. I think Blay being a body can make space for them. You know what I mean? Whereas Trocheck will do that for the other one. And that leaves, I think, you know, Kravtsov has pretty good hockey IQ. Hopefully him and Panarin can play off each other kind of like Strome and him did. But obviously, Kravtsov also himself has a pretty some pretty good wheels. So we'll see. Maybe we see a little bit more. We saw some good forechecks from him earlier. So maybe, you know, when he was with the team. So hopefully that continues. But yeah, I am really I was pleasantly surprised with this news. So I think it's a pretty good. Oh, and we didn't talk about it, but the fourth line is going to be some form of, you know, Ryan Reeves and Hunt with Carpenter in the middle and Gaudreau, you know?
Yeah.
So, which we expected, basically.
Right.
That's how they see it. But who knows? That's that obviously they said subject to change or try things out. Does Will Cooley force? Does someone from Hartford surprise? You know, who knows? The NFL action is in full swing here at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. We're talking touchdowns, big plays, and even bigger wins. New customers can bet just $5 on any NFL team to win and get $200 in free bets if they do. And if that's not enough, everyone can boost their winnings with DraftKings stepped-up same-game parlays. Right now, for every leg you add, you can boost your winnings up to 100%. With payouts bigger than ever, why bet on football anywhere else? And to make things even sweeter, you can throw down on stepped-up same-game parlays once per game day, all season long. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code THPN to get $200 in free bets if your team wins when you place a $5 bet on any football game. That's code THPN, only at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details. So, full disclosure, I'm a bit of a freak when it comes to audio quality. I basically always have a pair of headphones in my ears. I'm either editing this podcast, recording this podcast, listening to music, listening to other podcasts, and I do all this when I'm working out, walking around the streets of New York City, riding the subway, riding the bike, running for exercise, and recently it's been an amazing experience. And do you know why? Because I've been using my brand new Raycon wireless earbuds to do all of it. Raycon's everyday earbuds look, feel, and sound better than ever, and with their optimized gel tips for the perfect in-ear fit, they are so comfortable, they will not budge. Trust me, like I said, when I'm running, riding the bike, just moving all out and about, they do not move an inch. Raycons give up to 8 hours of playtime and a 32-hour battery life. And they're priced just right because you get quality audio at half the price of the other premium audio brands. It's no wonder Raycon's everyday earbuds have over 50,000 five-star reviews. Like I said earlier, I'm a bit of a freak when it comes to audio. So Raycon's three customizable sound profiles are perfect for me. If I want more bass, I can get it. If I want less bass, I can get it. If I want more highs, I can get them. I can just basically tailor it to the type of music I'm listening to and just how I'm feeling on any given day. Right now, go to buyraycon.com and use code THPN15 and get 15% off of your Raycon order. That's code THPN15 at buyraycon.com to score 15% off. Again, buyraycon.com, code THPN15. But yeah, obviously awesome news for me because I thought that's kind of exactly what I wanted to see, you know?
Yeah, and it makes me feel, you know, it makes me feel good that Hunt and Gaudreau are down there on the fourth line. Obviously, we all saw what Reeves was able to bring last year. I don't think he needs to play 82 games. You know, he's 35 years old now, and just his speed is killer. And, you know, I think he's obviously more there as a leader and, you know, does bring a sense of security to this lineup and you know, to this team. You know, the one thing I will say is that, you know, I think he can be a leader more so off the ice at times this season, and he doesn't always need to be in the lineup because come playoff time, you know, it's tough. It really is tough to have him just kind of dragging the fourth line a little bit, even though, you know, last year it's hard to say, you know, who was our best, you know, best forwards last year in the playoffs, you know?
Yeah. I will say, you know, the good thing is at times it felt like we had last season, you had forwards playing out of position a little bit above their heads with your Hunts and your Gaudreaus, right?
Right.
I don't really feel that way about much of this roster, the way it's currently constructed. I mean, obviously the big question marks are going to be, can Kravtsov keep up with Panarin and Trocheck, and can Sami Blay fit in with Kreider and Zibanejad? But obviously keeping the kid, we already know what the kid line did against other teams' top lines at times in the playoffs. You know what I mean? Watching Kucherov and Stamkos and, you know, the Carolina's first line at times have trouble with them, you know, running roughshod. So that's the thing. They have that chemistry. So why mess with it? Especially if, honestly, that's going to be your first line of the future, if in a lot of ways, unless, you know, obviously if Hedl's traded, that doesn't happen. It's only, or Kako, who knows? But what I'm saying, in there is a reality where that's your first line of the future, right? So why not? And there's proof of concept. Keep them together. See what that version that we saw in the playoffs is like now with weight training in the summer and experience and confidence and growth and feeling good about themselves, about what they just accomplished. So, and even Gerard Gallant, when asked, did say, what is, you know, what does this team need to take the next step? Sorry. All these are out of order. These quotes I'm reading. Where is it? I just had it pulled up. He basically said something to the effect of, it all depends on the kids, if they can build off what they did in the playoffs last year, you know, to become better hockey players this year. And yeah, so, I mean, obviously I think everyone knows that this team, whether or not they're better or worse than next year, really does depend on that kid line, right? It's all right there. Everyone else is pretty much the same as they were. Obviously Kravtsov is new and Blay didn't get to play much last year, but that's this team's going to live and die with the kid line, obviously. So I like it. I'm happy about it. Not mad about it.
Yeah, no. And I think that ultimately, like, if that fails, then the season's going to fail, because it's, you know, where are we going? Other, you know, there's nothing you can really do to fix, you know, this core group of guys. If guys are not going to play and live up to their expectations, you know, we're not going to win a Stanley Cup. And I think what was amazing, you know, a lot of all last year was just, you know, we had a full consistent season where guys played at the level that us fans expected them to, you know, and that's up and down the lineup. Obviously Shesterkin in goal had a career year, you know, one for the record books. He was just unbelievable. You know, you go on defense and you just feel like you had magic in Keandre Miller, and then Schneider steps in and, you know, he's able to become, you know, a steady presence in that bottom pairing that we desperately needed. You know, Trouba was more physical and his best season as a New York Ranger. Fox, you know, obviously didn't have a Norris winning, you know, season, but he was certainly a part of our offense, and, you know, just his ability to take over games at times is certainly, you know, something that we needed all season long, especially when, you know, the offense from our forwards is not always present. But a career year from Kreider. We had Mika staying healthy all year long. Unfortunately, we lost Blay, but, you know, Panarin was able to be Panarin. And although, you know, we had, you know, some maybe a hiccup or two with him, you know, other than that, it was, you know, you still got Artemi Panarin. You know, a bad game was still like a 3-assist game. It was crazy. And then, you know, obviously the kid line was able to figure out during the playoffs, and that contributed to our success, because the third line is such a pivotal, you know, just a pivotal force in all of these games, because, you know, you're playing 7-game series 3 times in a row, you know, it takes a lot out of you. You need all 4 lines to roll. And then, you know, you look at our fourth line and, you know, we said it all season long, they did great, except you just really wish they contributed a little bit more. And yeah, I feel like this fourth line is going to contribute a lot more than what we had over the last couple seasons. So yeah, there is just a lot to be excited about. And this year just feels a little bit different. It feels like we are maybe one of the top dogs, and, you know, people should, you know, look at us on schedule and be like, fuck, we got to play the Rangers, you know. And for the first time in a long time, even going into the last year, I don't think there were any expectations that even remotely come close to what we're expecting this year.
No, it's just, when you think about it, it's just, I spent all summer basically trying to prognosticate just how whether or not this team can like pick up right where they left off, or if they're going to take a step back because of losing Kopp and Vetrano in those spots and, you know, other factors. But I really do think that experience last year has had a permanent effect on this team. Like, well, at least I hope so. And I think staying healthy is a big part of that too. I do think that, you know, cause we are obviously the team was able to do what they did, but remember, Panarin literally got hurt and Lindgren both got hurt literally in the last three games of the season. You know what I mean? So yeah,
and Kopp,
you know, so you just hope, and you know, who knows when Strom's groin injury happened, I forget, but it's just, I just think going through that, hopefully this is a team much like Tampa in the past. And even hell, the LA Kings, where they got to a point where they knew what it took and they're like, all right, we can like, we don't have to finish, you know, balls to the wall to like finish in a dogfight for second in our division. You know what I mean? They're like, once it's clinched, you're like, all right, easy, easy squeezy. Although they do say, right, when you try play to not get hurt, you end up getting hurt more than if you play you play recklessly. That's what they usually say. I don't know whether it's true or not. I don't know. But yeah, I just feels like just from an expectations standpoint in all facets of just staying healthy and when to push the pedal down and just confidence, I think this team can really things that have been harder for this. We saw just mentally what a step forward this team took last year, right? Because it wasn't always pretty, but at the same time, it's like the last few seasons, we even lamented, I think, prior to last season with under Quinn, it's like, you know, the comebacks that we were used to during the good times of the Alain Vigneault era were gone. You know what I mean? The year they won the President's Trophy, they'd be down like three goals. I'm like, oh, they're going to win this game. And they would. They'd come back and they'd win in overtime. You know, it just, but that's been gone for a while. But this team and this new core, they finally kind of found that. I apologize. Literally, someone thought it would be a good idea to start jackhammering outside at 5:02. So I'll try to edit this when I'm not talking out, so
I can't hear it, so maybe
okay, it's very loud for me, but I was just hoping it wasn't bleeding. Thanks to my new mic, it's nice, good at keeping noise out, just my voice. I think this team staying healthy is going to be really important, but you know, hopefully based on what everything they went through last year, they can, you know, knock on wood, they can just manage themselves physically better.
Yeah, and you know, obviously, you know, throughout the year, the lineup's going to change. It's going to look differently. You know, Barclay Goodrow is not going to spend the whole season on the fourth line. You know, he'll be up and down. Guys will get hurt. Guys will have, you know, slow streaks. You know, they'll be snake bitten at times. Things will change. You know, but I do like the fact that we have Gallant as our coach, who's a guy who, you know, I don't think he takes each individual game too seriously. He kind of, you know, takes it with a grain of salt, and he makes changes, but he also, the changes that he makes, you don't feel like it's the end of the world. Like he's like the opposite of me, where I am so up and down, so, you know, dramatic over every win and loss. The season's over with a loss. We might win the cup if we go on a 3-game winning streak. You know, he is so even keeled back there, and you can tell, like last year, he had fun. And, you know, if the Rangers, you know, what you want the most out of the New York Rangers is just consistency. And, you know, it's not always going to be fully consistent, but you saw what happens when these players are able to put a season together and play the most consistent hockey that we've, you know, ever seen from a lot of these guys. You know, especially the leaders on this team, you know, especially the Trubas, the Kreiders, and the Zibanejads. You know, Panarin's been an all-star every single season, so we can't really say much about him. But, you know, I do, one of the biggest things that I'm curious about is having a full season of Sammy Blais, because I really liked what he was able to bring to the New York Rangers. I thought he was a spark plug. I thought he was a guy that kind of could do it all. And he was on his way to becoming a fan favorite, and you know, hopefully he brings and matches that energy. And if he's going to be playing first line minutes, he's going to, you know, there's going to be an expectation there, and you know, hopefully that doesn't, you know, mess with his head or put over, you know, too much pressure on him. You know, I have to make up for what I missed last year. You know, I could have been a part of something special here. I let the boys down. Like, he just needs to go out there and play and, you know, just be a spark plug. We all know Mika can take over at any point. You know, Kreider, obviously, we know what he brings to the table. He's got to play with speed and be physical and, you know, get to the net. And, you know, Sammy Blay has got to have to, you know, read the play and kind of keep up with Mika and follow suit. So, Andy, I have a question for you. You know, the kid line, obviously, you were super excited that it seems that we're going to start with them together. If there isn't immediate success, how quickly do you think Gallant will start moving them up and down the lineup?
Well, I guess that's the biggest thing, is that they could get broken up. A, if their line, for whatever reason, is just not getting it done.
I actually think they might get broken up even if other lines are not getting
it done. Well, that's my point. I think that even more so if Blay, who is has to this point has been a career fourth, at times third liner, looks out of place with that top line, then you have to put someone there. Or if maybe Panarin or Kravtsov is just not working with Panarin and Trocheck. And also, Kravtsov, you know, is going to have a much shorter leash than almost anyone on the team. Like, we know this is going in, right? No one's under any illusion that's not going to be the case. So if he's struggling, he might get sent down. Although it wouldn't, he, you know, and Gallant would be, oh, it's, well, we have four first lines. You know, we roll four lines. Yeah. Yes. So in his mind, it's not a demotion, but it's a demotion. You know what I mean? Because you can't tell me he's going to give. I would like, if the Lafreniere-Hedl-Kako line looks just as good as they did in the playoffs, there's no reason they shouldn't get the same amount of ice time. If not more, because when they were on the ice, they had the puck all the time, you know, than the other lines. So we'll see. You know, I think the perfect thing for this team is the fact if that line pushing the other two lines to be productive, or else their time will suffer, you know. And if that leads to hurt feelings, so be it. I think Kreider and Zibanejad would also be the types that if that happened, they would probably take it in stride, whereas Panarin might, you know, off season might be a little upset about it if his role gets diminished. But if anything, hopefully it motivates all parties involved to keep up. But that's obviously my rose-colored glasses, when in reality, it was more likely something's not going to be working. Gallant's going to flip the switch on the blender. Someone who we have penciled in is not going to make the lineup. Jimmy Vesey is going to play with, you know, Panarin and Trocheck. You know, so there's obviously a lot of doomsday scenarios as far as the fan base is concerned. But yeah, I mean, obviously they could very feasibly split the kid lineup if it's not working with the other lines. And, you know, who knows if just based on play, they have to go with a hierarchy of minutes based on whatever they think the most successful lines are, you know? So, the only good thing I'd say is that players like Trocheck, who do play on the penalty kill, you know, hopefully there is a spot for one of the kids, most likely Lafreniere on the first power play. Now that Strome is gone, right? You put Lafreniere on that side in the shooting position in the bumper slot, you know?
You would hope. I feel like a lot of Ranger fans felt that should have been the case last year, and Strome just constantly got the benefit of the doubt.
But and listen, I do want to, as he's gone from this team, can't really, this will be my last chance to maybe really touch on Strome, although I feel like his memory of complaining about Strome will live on in, you know, perpetuity. But, you know, Strome did a good job on the power play. He had some good touches and he did good things. You know, obviously we remember the whiffed nets at even strength and this and that, or in dime minutes of games and stuff. But he was good in that bumper slot. He scored some good goals, had some good passes. So, you know, who's to say? I could honestly see where they do give Lafreniere, but it's because that other unit's been together all of last year and he hasn't. It might take him a little bit to get on. And does Gallant have the patience for the second best power play in the league last year if one of the cogs isn't working right out of the gate? So that's going to be the question, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, I don't know. I just feel like power play will be fine. As long as Panarin's healthy and Mika's healthy, we have our, you know, trigger shooters, and, you know, I'm not too worried about it. You know, I am very, very, you know, there's a part of me that's the only thing that makes me a little concerned is that our 5-on-5 last year, we just didn't produce enough, and that killed us, I think, in the playoffs. you know, we got to get it done on the 5-on-5, even if it means power play, obviously, let's just say it digresses a little bit. We need to be better 5-on-5, just more consistent scoring. And, you know, we got to see it up and down the lineup, you know, and I'm hoping if, with the kid line, we get a lot of production out of that third line, and with the, what the fourth line looks like, especially, you know, with Goudreau down there and Hunt, an energy line that, you know, just will outwork and outsmart, you know, other teams' fourth lines, that we'll get, you know, get a couple goals a week, you know.
From, yeah, I think a Goudreau, Hunt, Carpenter could be a great fourth line, you know. I think,
yeah,
Hunt's got speed. I would say Carpenter's pretty slow, and Goudreau is on the slower side, but there's a lot of, you know, a lot of crash and bang between Goudreau's smart, much smarter player probably than the other two, at least offensively, whereas defensively I think the other two are fine, you know. So yeah. And yeah, I mean, again, Reeves is a guy who, although his personal game doesn't add too much to the team at times, he is his just presence is clearly such a booster for the rest of the club in terms of the vibe and the swagger, that it's like, it's important to have him around. So get him in occasionally, or, you know, like if you, when they play the Flyers, like, please put Ryan Reeves in. You know, or they play, right, or whoever, or if you play Arizona, I want to see Ryan Reeves out there. You know what I mean? But, yeah, or hell, even, you know, when Washington plays, I understand he's every time Washington playing, he's going to be out there, right? But, you know, when they're playing the Colorado Avalanche, I would much rather have him stapled to the bench. So, or just, you know, in the press box with a suit on.
Yeah, no, well, I agree. Again, we don't need the 82 games, and we don't need 82 games out of a lot of our players. You know, it does. Let's be more cautious and be healthy, and, you know, let's rely on our depth this season and be a little bit even keeled, consistent. And, you know, I don't need, although it was nice, Kreider, I don't need another 50, you know, goal season, although that would be nice. But, you know, if he told me that, you know, Kreider scored 40 and he scored, you know, a few more on the even strength, I would take it, because that's where you win hockey games. You know, that's the difference maker in the playoffs for sure. Like, obviously special teams is huge and can win you a game and possibly a series if you get enough opportunities, but, you know, you don't want a spell of a cold spell of the power play, and that's basically your only option if you want to win hockey games. You know, you got to bring it 5-on-5. That's where you play a majority of your time, and you know, for the Rangers, what the lineup looks like right now, I think we should expect big things. Pretty wild, Andy, just looking at the schedule again. You know, we have one more podcast before we get to see preseason hockey. We have the Islanders on the 26th, and on the 27th, we have the Boston Bruins. So, I mean, this is like surreal that we've made it to this point.
Yeah, I mean, again, we're going to be wrapping up as soon as the first game of the regular season hits. It's season 4 of the Broadway Boys podcast. So, yeah, like you said, very surreal, but it's so super exciting just to hear that there's no weird setbacks or anything from Gallant, or, you know, there's we don't have to deal with the Nils non-report kind of looming over things or whatever, and that there's a plan, and the team all seems, they have their captain now, and it apparently he was sending the text messages out, is that where everyone gets here early, we're on time, no one's going to waltz in a day, you know, to New York a day before training camp starts, you know, and it just, the vibes around this team seem very good right now, you know, right? So that's good. You just keep building on the close knit and keep building on the motivation to do something great, and just keep motivated. You know, obviously Gallant had a pretty funny line, but it was also kind of apropos, is that, listen, no, as nice as last season was and how big of a step it was for them, it was last season, right? So he said, he made a crack. He said, Chris Kreider scored 50 goals last year, and you bet your ass I'm going to be on him to score 50 again this year. You know what I mean? And that's what it takes, is that you take the confidence from last year, but you don't take it for granted, the fact that you have to work to get the result, right? So, you know, So they just continue to work and just kind of grow their confidence and swagger, and hopefully the result takes care of itself. Oh, what a mush mouth I am sometimes.
No, that was good. You ended, right?
Oh, no, I didn't.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you ended it.
I should have ended it, but no, I'm leaving this in now because I like people knowing how the sausage is made.
I thought
someone just knock on the door. No, sorry. I'm hearing right. things. Wow. Weird end to a podcast. Thank you so much for listening to us. Like I said, I'm going to go to, we have an episode dropping Monday, our first day of our first preseason game. So I'll be excited to preview that with news and notes that come out of the next few days here at Rangers training camp. Some of the see what lines have already been jumbled by the time, you know, just 4 days after this podcast drops. But man, I am super excited. I believe it's going to be a high of like 65 on Friday, right? So talk about autumnal chill coming in. But yeah, the weather's changing, the season's changing, and the New York Rangers are so close to finally being back.
Thank you for listening to the Broadway Boys podcast. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Broadway Boys Pod, and please rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, SoundCloud, or thehockeypodcastnetwork.com.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network on Twitter at HockeyPodNet. New episodes every Monday and Thursday. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.